Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord on tonight. Yes, this means war. That's what we got to do. We have to know that we're in a spiritual fight. This is not a spiritual, this is not a physical fight. This is a spiritual battle that we are in. So this means war, and we got to know who's the chief captain and who's in control and who's at the head, and that is God, our Heavenly Father. So I thank God for you, the listeners, on tonight, which is Saturday night, January the 6th, 2018. You are now in tune to Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show. I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. So as always, I'm asking all listeners, for those of you that are tuning in for the first time on tonight, I'm asking all listeners, as I always do, please get your Bibles and your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God on tonight as he delivers God's word. I am so excited to announce that we have with us Pastor Kyle Butler. He is the pastor of New Beginning Ministries out of Paterson, New Jersey. He will be bringing the word on tonight. So I'm excited to hear what God is going to say through this man of God on tonight. So you have time to get your Bibles and pens and paper ready and get on the phone or whatever, your internet real quick, and pass the word and let others know that Pastor Butler will be bringing the word tonight so they can tune in and be blessed by the word as well, also on tonight. Before we go any further, we always open up with prayer. So I'm asking all the listeners if you would go into prayer with me at this time. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, it is once again, we come in the precious name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. It is in his name that we come to give your name praise, glory, and honor because of who you are. You are so worthy to be praised. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that there is none like you in all the earth. You're awesome. And Heavenly Father, you are so good to us that we can't even express our gratitude to you for your gratefulness toward each one of us, even though we know that we're not worthy. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us on tonight. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come asking that you would forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions. I start with myself, and I also include my entire family. Also, our pastor, Kyle Butler, and his entire family, forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions and all those that are being doers of your word. Heavenly Father, that our prayers and that whatever you do for us and through us for your glory, Heavenly Father, will not be hindered, but that you will be glorified through it all is our prayer on tonight in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we come also lifting up all those that are sick and afflicted all over the land. Touch, heal, and deliver as only you can in the name of Jesus Christ. We know that you are the physician, the chief physician, that never have lost a patient. So we know that you are our healer. Your word lets us know that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we are healed already. No matter what it looks like, we're standing on your word by faith that we are healed in Jesus' name on tonight. And also, Heavenly Father, we come lifting up all those that are afflicted, that have experienced the loss of loved ones on tonight. Even as we have just crossed over into the new year, we know that you're still calling your people home. So we know that there is someone that are tuned in on tonight or may have the idea or may know someone that has lost a loved one. In this new beginning of the new year, is our prayer, Heavenly Father, that you will comfort and strengthen them. It's only you can let them know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal is our prayer for them on tonight. And we lift up all those that are homeless on tonight. We live in times right now where the weather is severe and very dangerous, but we know that you make the weather, and we know that you know where all of your children are. So we just ask that you will cover those that are homeless, Heavenly Father, and are less fortunate all over the land, that they will find shelter, Heavenly Father, and they will come to know Jesus Christ, those that are not saved. And it's our prayer on tonight that should there be any listeners who are not saved in Jesus' name, it's our prayer that something will be said on tonight, that they will be able to surrender and open their mouths and confess their sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and save them. And once they are saved, they will come to know their God purpose. And once they know their God purpose, they will walk in it, they will live in it, and fulfill their God purpose in the earth is our prayer on tonight in Jesus' name. So we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to decrease on tonight so that you would increase in us. But we know it's not about us, it's about you. So we just thank you for the opportunity to be your vessel, servants, and ambassadors on tonight over this worldwide platform, that you will be glorified is our prayer. Have your way, Lord, through it all is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all of the people of God said amen. Well, once again, we do have another spiritual food for thought. And tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, and this includes myself, and I find this to be very true, jealousy can be a blessing. Once again, I say jealousy can be a blessing, and I'm sure someone is asking the question, how? How can jealousy be a blessing? Your enemies are truly advertising you unaware. Once again, our spiritual food for thought for tonight, jealousy can be a blessing. How, you may ask? Your enemies are advertising you unaware. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants-ambassador-vessels, and once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from my listeners. You can email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Once again, my guest on tonight is none other than Pastor Kyle Butler. Again, he is the pastor of New Beginning Ministries, which is in Paterson, New Jersey. He's standing by to share a testimony with us, the listeners, and myself. And then following the music break, he's going to come back and deliver God's word. So I do pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God as he delivers God's word. Because as I always say, I don't want you to take it lightly or for granted that the man of God is making up things, that you can see it for yourself as you read it through in the word and follow along with the word of God, that you will be strengthened and that God will be glorified through tonight's word is our prayer in Jesus' name. So right now, before we go into our music break, I'm going to ask Pastor Butler if he will please share with the worldwide listeners a testimony. Following his testimony, we will go into a music break. But Pastor Butler, I'm so excited to have you on this worldwide program. It's a ministry. That's exactly what it is. It's a ministry, and I don't take it lightly. So I thank God for you coming aboard to share the good news of Jesus Christ over this worldwide platform to the listeners. So I'm asking you to please share a testimony at this time.
Well, thank you. Let me start by saying thank you so much, brother, for having me on your show. It's an honor and a privilege. Anytime I believe someone asks you to share about the Word of God or the goodness of God on any level, on any platform, on any service, whether it's 1, 2, 5, 1,000, whatever, I just think it's such an honor and a privilege. And I told the Lord a long time ago, and it really shouldn't be something we have to tell the Lord, but in some cases, maybe for some it is. But I told the Lord I would never turn down any opportunity that he gave me, any door he opened for me to share. So I see this as a God-opening moment. So I really appreciate you for your listening ear as God instructed you or, you know, brought me to your attention and then you followed the instruction leading of your heart there. So I thank you for that as well, my brother. Real quick, not to go too long into testimony, but I started off in this journey at a very young age. I gave my life to the Lord at 12. By the age of 13, I had my first experience as far as speaking in tongues and having a revelation that the Holy Spirit was inside of me. I gave my first little mini sermon, as they call it, at 13 as well. But then I kind of just lived my teenage life. And even though we were brought up in the church, I didn't really get serious with God until about the age of 19. Shortly after that, I got ordained for the first time as a minister. Then 2 years after that, I was ordained again. And 2 years after that, again, I was being ordained for the final time, which is when I became the pastor of the church that I grew up in, which at the time was called the Fake Holy Church. A couple of years later, the Lord instructed me to change the name to New Beginning Ministries. So, and that's kind of the short version of where I started and what led me to where I am today. There's been many revelations, many different moments of growth, of course, that we all have as we walk through this journey. And I'm just here today in a position, in a place where I feel God is really showing me something concerning grace and his love for us that maybe most believers haven't really grabbed yet. So I believe right now the path God has me on is to really help show people just how loved we are by our Father.
Wow, and that is very deep what you just said. And I thank God for you because of that testimony, what you just shared with us. One of your purposes in life and on the earth is to show, open up yourself that people can see Jesus Christ in you, and not only as they can see Jesus Christ in you and experience his love as they see you and come in contact with you, but he has ordained you for such a time as this to stand on his word and declare and teach and preach his word. So I thank God for you sharing your testimony because someone needs to know that even at a young age, God has a purpose for your life. You may not know what it is right now, but you continue to hold on to your faith. You continue to stay in the Word and under the Word, under a man or God that is teaching and preaching and standing on the Word, teaching and preaching about Jesus Christ, be his birth, his death, his burial, and resurrection, that we can be saved and through Jesus Christ. So thank you, Pastor Butler, for sharing that testimony because someone else is experiencing the same thing that you have just shared with us at a young age, and they don't know which way to go or what to do. Just continue to trust God, continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand because he do have a purpose for your life that only you can fulfill. So I thank you, Pastor Butler, for sharing that testimony. This is going to let someone else know that if God did it for you and look what you are now, he is the same God. He have no respect to a person and he changed not. So he wants each one of us to fulfill our God purpose that only we can fulfill. So we thank God for you, Pastor Butler, for sharing that testimony. And that's why I always ask my first-time guests to come on and share testimony because God gets glory out of our testimony, and it does us no good. God gets no glory, and it helps no one if God has done something for us and we don't share it with others because he said he's a jealous God. And so I thank God for you for sharing that testimony that has been a blessing to those who are listening in on tonight. So right now we're going to go into our music break, and for such a time as this, I know some people probably get tired of me playing this song, but because of the situation that we're currently living in, and we have to realize that we are living in a reality, this is for real, we need to be praying for our world leaders. We are told in the Word of God to pray for our world leaders. We are to pray for our pastors and our shepherds, those that watches over our souls and prays for us. We are to be praying for our doctors and our lawyers and our teachers and our judges, those that make decisions, and our congressmen and those in the White House and any worldwide president leader. We are to be praying for them. So that's a command from God. That's not just a hearsay. That is a command from God. That you say you love me, you got to learn how to show your love by how you love one another. And one of those ways is showing it through praying for one another. So at this time, we're going to pray for me, because we know we are in a time that we need to be praying one for another, not criticizing one another, not putting each other down with our personal opinions or feelings, but we need to get back to the Word, stand on the Word. We need to be praying one for another. So we're going to play this again on tonight, Pray For Me. And following this music break, we're going to come back and yield the mic to Pastor Butler to deliver God's Word. So I do pray that you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God. Right before he comes forth with the Word in this music break, I do have one quick announcement. I would like to announce to the listeners, some of you are aware, that I do have other people that have shows up under me, and I am their director. I want to bring to your attention, for those that are tuning in for the first time, to tune in every first and every third Thursday night from 6:30 to 7 p.m. to Theologically Speaking with Pastor Jose Dorsey out of Redford, Michigan. He has a powerful word that he shares with the listeners every first and every third Thursday. And his show title, again, is Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. Again, I'm asking you all to tune in each and every first and third Thursday from 6:30 to 7 p.m. and be blessed by the word. So right now we're going to go into this music break, and we're going to come back and hear what God has to say to us through his man of God, Pastor Butler.
Come on, KD.
An old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord on tonight. Yes, we are all standing in the need of prayer. And thank God Jesus prayed for me. I thank God my mother, even though she's home with the Lord, she prayed for me. I remember the times that I would hear her praying, walking through the house in the midnight hour. She thought we was all asleep. But the Lord would allow me to hear her walking through the house, praying and moaning and just having a conversation with the Lord. I didn't understand then, but thank God I know now. Down through the years, I know what the power of prayer can do. Your prayer still works, just like the blood of Jesus still works. It's all about, do you have the faith to believe it on tonight? So we are in the need of prayer on tonight because of such a time that we're living in, and we can see the handwriting is on the wall. Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, is soon to come again. And this time when he comes back, it's not going to be like the first time. He's coming back this time with his in full splendor and glory. And he's coming back after his church. And if you're saved in Jesus' name, he's not coming back after the building. He's coming back for you and for me. That's who he's coming back for. So I look forward to that day. Don't you? I pray that someone that is listening on tonight, if you're not saved in Jesus' name, it's not too late. I thank God for this opportunity to be able to share this worldwide platform with others such as Pastor Butler, who's going to get ready to bring the word on tonight, because we realize it's not about us. And the word of God said, it is not God's desire that any souls be lost. So that's our desire and our hope and prayer tonight, that no souls be lost, that something will be said on tonight, that someone will be converted and transformed by the renewing of their minds, and they will be changed, and they will surrender and be saved on tonight, as the word go forth in Jesus' name. So we thank God for the word on tonight that's about to be delivered through Pastor Butler on tonight. So, again, I hope you have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to hear and receive the word of God. Pastor Butler, I am now yielding the mic to you to deliver God's word at this time.
Thank you, brother. I want to just piggyback, so to speak, on something you just said, which, when you're talking about being prayed for. And as you were saying that, you were reminiscing about hearing your mother pray for you as a young child. I can also reminisce about that. But as you were saying that, it was also brought back to my memory a very powerful prayer that Jesus prayed for us. So I want to go there to start with, because it fits right in to what we're going to talk about tonight, which is the precious love of our Father. So I want you to turn with me today, if you have your Bibles, to John chapter 17. And I want to show you something here as we begin to talk about the precious love of our Father. In John chapter 17, verse number 22, and in the beginning part of this chapter, Jesus is taking a moment and he's praying at first for himself. He's about to endure the cross. So he takes a moment, he prays for himself. And then he prays for his to be remaining there after his resurrection. And then Jesus takes it one step further and he begins to pray for all believers who would then come after his death, burial, and resurrection. So in chapter 17, verse number 22, as Jesus is praying, the last part of this prayer, he says this, as he's praying to the Father, "And the glory which you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one." Verse 23, "I in them, you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me." Now here's the kicker. "And have loved you, have loved me." Now, I have probably read this verse a few times. You know how we do. We start at Genesis and we get on a mission to read the Bible all the way to Revelation. So I've probably read this verse before, probably just in a daily reading. But one day I was listening to one of my favorite ministers preach, and they brought up this verse. And when they read it that day, it leaped off of my Bible as I was following along with the preacher that day. And the words that said, "Father, show them that you love them just as much as you love me," it floored me. It just took me back. it was a whoa moment for me. It was like, really? Now, this can't be. Every single part of me could not understand how Jesus could say, Father, show them that you love them just as much as you love me. Now, I would have been okay if Jesus had said, Father, show them that you love them almost as much as you love me. I would have been okay with that. That would have been okay with me. I mean, it's Jesus. It's the beloved Son of the Father. This is the one person who's going to make this extreme sacrifice for all mankind. So I would have been okay had Jesus put some separation between the Father's love for him and the Father's love for us. But Jesus didn't do that. He says, Father, show them you love them just as much as you love me. And the day this leaped up inside of me and became a revelation to me, it changed my life. Now, as I said earlier in my testimony, that I grew up in church, and I came up in a time where I understood that God loved me because I remember memorizing John 3:16 in Sunday school, so I knew the verse. But I didn't have an intimate relationship or understanding of that love. Because unfortunately for me, and maybe some of you listeners can say you've maybe had the same experience, I hope not, but maybe, even though we were in church, the version of God that I received was a version that didn't seem very loving at all. It wasn't a version that seemed that he really was for me. It wasn't a version of God that really seemed like he was on my side. I received a version of God that was very hard, very cold, very mean, very, very full of wrath and anger. I received a version of God, the way he was taught to me, was in ways that said this: if you don't do what God wants you to do, he'll make you do it. And in that making of you do it, he will take you through whatever he has to take you through. He'll beat you down. He'll put hardships on you. He'll break your will. And this is a version of God that I received. I received a version of God that made me think, Kyle, you better get it together. You better line up. God doesn't have patience. I mean, he's only going to tolerate you for so long. You keep messing up, and he's just going to come get you. And when he comes to get you, son, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. That's a version of God that was preached to me. So I didn't get the love angle of God. So when I, in my testimony, I was telling you earlier how, you know, at a young age, at 19, I finally said, okay, God, I'm going to get serious with you. I only made that decision because I was afraid. I was afraid that, you know what, I may not make it to 20. I may not make it to 21. I may not make it to 22. I mean, I've grown up in church all this time, and that reference that you better stop playing with God. So I was more in a fear of coming to God saying, okay, God, you know what? I don't know how much more patience you have with me. It may run out, so before it runs out, let me just come and serve you. Or let me just come and submit myself to you because I don't want that trouble to come. I don't want those hardships to come. I don't want that hard life or that making me. I didn't understand that he loved me. I thought God was a hard taskmaster. He was just rigid and just cold because that's the version of God I received. So you can almost understand now when this verse became alive to me, it really shook me. God, you love us just as much as you love Jesus, us. You know, we have our issues and we make mistakes and we don't get it right and we don't always cross all the T's and we don't always dot all our I's. You love us just as much as you love Jesus. Shook my world. So I started saying this, and I knew this, as the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I realized that I didn't have, my faith wasn't very strong in this truth. My faith, I had no confidence in this verse. My faith here about how much God loved me was real low because of so much of what I heard growing up. So I realized, you know what, I need to get this. I need to believe this. This has to become the foundation of my belief system, that God loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. So I was already in a habit, so to speak, or I was already in the process of speaking over my life daily, giving a daily confirmation of God's word over my life on a daily basis. So I just added this verse in, and every day when I would get up and I would have my morning meditation or time of fellowship or somewhere throughout the course of the day, when I would speak these positive confirmations over my life, I would just say, Father, I thank you because I know you love me just as much as you love Jesus. And I remember, just like the first time this verse jumped out at me, I remember there were some times that, everything inside of me was saying, no, he doesn't. He can't. That's impossible. it was everything inside of me was disagreeing with this truth. But I knew that if I just kept saying, or if I kept my faith in this verse, that eventually it would become my truth. So, and that's what I did. Now, when I started there and that revelation became real to me, that God indeed loved me just as much as he loved Jesus, then it really opened up the revelation of grace. And as Jesus almost began to show me just how big his grace is. Well, I want to take you now over to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. As we continue here, I just wanted to put that in your hearing about the prayer Jesus has for us, which is to show us that God loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. Well, over here in Ephesians chapter 2, I want to start at verse 1, and I want to work my way down to maybe about verse 10 or so. And I want you to see some things here, and I want to bring in the new covenant of grace and expound upon that and show us just how valuable this gift God has given us and why he gave it to us, okay? So in verse number 1 it says, and you made us alive, who was dead in our trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, verse 3, among whom also we have conducted ourselves, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires and the lust of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others. So Paul is taking a moment here to kind of say, hey, we were in this place, we were in our minds, we were alienated from God, in our actions, we were far away from God, you know. We were just out here kind of doing our own thing. We had no thought towards God. We had no mind towards God. We had no will towards God. And Paul is just kind of reminding us kind of where we were before God showed us how much he loved us through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, okay? So in verse 4, here in verse 4, he says, but God. So he says, even though we were here, we were cutting up, we were, you know, doing our own thing, we had no thoughts towards God, we were just kind of lollygagging through life. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy, why? What makes him rich in mercy? What is the reason he's rich in mercy? Listen to this. Because of his great love, which he love us, telling us God loves us just as much as he loves Jesus. Paul, who received the revelation of the new covenant of grace as Jesus revealed it to him, he now takes us a step further into grace and shows us that the Father loves us, but the love he has for us is a great love. So Jesus tells us, God loves me, God loves you just as much as he loves me. And then Paul takes us a step further and says, this love God has for us is a great love. It's a passionate love. It's an everlasting love. It's a love that's relentless. It's a love that will chase us down. It's a love that won't turn us loose. It's a love that will just stay consistent from day 1 to day 2 to day 90 to day 1,000. It's a love that is unconditional. It's a love that's unbreakable. It's a love that's unfathomable. It's a great, great love. It's greater than what we can imagine. It's greater than anything we've ever seen before. It's greater than anything we've ever experienced before. And Paul is saying this is the reason why God, who is rich in mercy, the reason why God gave us grace, the reason why God did everything he's ever done is because of this great love that he has for us. And he goes on to remind us again. He says, as we continue in verse 4, even when we were dead in our trespasses. Now, you know, think about this natural life. Think about us, how we are, right? So a guy meets a girl. He thinks she's cute or attractive or adorable, whatever he thinks. And he says, wow, I really would like to get to know her, you know. And maybe she sees him, and maybe she feels the same way. So they exchange numbers or, you know, introductions or whatever they do. And eventually they start dating. And in the beginning of this dating process, man, you're getting the best of the guy and the best of the girl. You know, she's showing you all her good stuff, and he's showing you all his good stuff. And you just think, oh, my God, I'm so in love. This guy's great. Oh, my God, I'm so in love. This woman is great. Because in the beginning, they're showing you the best of them. Well, God showed us his best when we were at our worst. He didn't wait for us to get it together. He didn't wait for us to clean it up. He didn't wait for us to come to a place of saying, oh, God. No, he, because of his great love, this relentless, precious love he has for us, we were dead in our trespasses, when we were just out here with no mind of God, no thought of God, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. And this is Paul now beginning to introduce to us the new covenant of grace, showing us that because of God's great love, he makes grace available for us, a gift he's given to us because he loves us, a gift we couldn't qualify for, we couldn't do anything to do to receive, we couldn't work enough, try enough, get good enough. There was nothing we can do to qualify or to make grace a qualifiable gift for us. But Paul reveals to us it's here because of his great love, the precious love of our Father, the precious, sweet love of our Father, the relentless love of our Father, the love that has removed all obstacles, hindrances, barriers, so that we can come into a revelation of who we are and how much he loves us. That God, with that love for you, for me. You know, I think about it like this now, as I see this great love so much more clearer than I ever had before. I just imagine what it was like for God while he was in the garden and he was creating Adam. Now, in the beginning, remember it says, as God gets together and kind of huddles up with the Holy Spirit and huddles up with Jesus, he says, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let us give him dominion over the earth, you know. And God begins to kneel down and gather the dust together, and he begins to put Adam together bit by bit, piece by piece. And I want you to try to imagine the happiness and the joy and the excitement God had as he was putting Adam together, because God realized that as soon as Adam gets together, as soon as I finish building him and crafting him and sculpting him and making him into a man, and as soon as I breathe my breath into him, he's going to come alive, and finally, I'm going to have someone that I can pour my great love upon. God, we have no reference of God loving angels. We have no reference of God loving the animals or anything like this. Not saying that he doesn't have love for that, but we have no reference of that. But what we have is a tremendous reference of God loving man. He couldn't wait to put Adam together. He couldn't wait. He was like the kid at the top of the stairs. It's Christmas morning. It's finally Christmas time. He's at the top of the stairs. He's peering down into the living room. He sees gifts all over the place. And, oh, he's just so excited. He can't wait to run down the stairs. He goes and wakes up his mom and wakes up his dad and says, come on, Christmas is here. The toys are ready. And he's so excited. I just imagine that's exactly how God was as he was putting Adam together, waiting for him, for his eyes to finally open, because finally, God is going to have someone to love, to show his great love towards. So Paul says now in verse 6, and he says, he's raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Remember now, Jesus was praying in John chapter 17. Remember, he said, I in them, them in me, just as you are in me and I am in you. And Paul is building on that revelation. We're with him. So listen, God looks at us. He sees Jesus. God looks at Jesus. He sees us. This love affair is always going. This love affair never ends. Remember when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3, or Luke chapter 4, and Jesus goes under and he comes up, and it says that the dove, the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and descended upon him, and then this voice came from heaven, and this voice of the Father said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Well, I want to tell you something today, and maybe you've never heard this before. Maybe you've never heard this before. Maybe you've been told differently, but I want to tell you, you're in Christ. He's in you. The very moment that happened, you too heard the same thing Jesus heard. You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I remember my struggle with that verse in the beginning. I struggled with it because to us and our natural thinking, hey, you only get a well done after you finish your work. You know, you don't go to work and, you know, your boss doesn't give you a check on the first day of the week and just expect you to hopefully fill out the rest of the week and do your work. No, you work first, get paid second. You know, that's the way it works in every area of life. You cook first, then you can eat. You know, you wash the clothes, then you can put on clean clothes. I mean, every single thing we do here in this natural life requires, if I do the work first, then I get the reward. You get good grades, you get the A. You clean up your room, you get the allowance. You be a good boy, you get the ice cream, whatever. Everything we do is based upon that. So when this verse, you're my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, it was such a challenge for me because I said to myself, Doc, why would you tell him that? He didn't do anything yet. He didn't kill anyone yet. He didn't have a first nail code yet. He didn't do anything yet. Why would you say this to him now? I would totally understand if you said this to him after he died and after he rose again, after he had done everything he had done for the 3.5 years of his ministry. I would understand it then. It would make sense. But no, before he had done anything, God cracks the sky, makes this announcement. You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Guess what? He's done the same thing for you and I, for every one of us that's in Christ Jesus. That sky cracked open. The voice has been heralded down on us. You are now my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this is what Paul is saying. We've been raised up together. Together we're with him in the heavenly places. Why? Verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, when you see it from this side of the loving Father and his precious love for us, and you understand that it was God's intention from day one to lavish upon us the best that he has, the fullness of his grace, the fullness of his love, the fullness of his blessing from day one. It didn't say that we kind of gradually come into it little by little as we tread along the journey, kind of getting it right and trying to do it. No, it didn't say that. It says in verse 7 that in the ages to come, and that age is there. It's not talking about in the eons and the millennials to come. It's not talking about that. It's talking just in a period of time, meaning from day one of your Christian walk to day five to day seven, and just in the time of you walking with the Father, that he will show you as you walk along this journey the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, in verse 1, he starts off by telling us how bad we were, how unworthy we were, how unqualified we were. And in verse 8, he says this. You've probably heard this before. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. Now, if Paul started off chapter 2 telling us how bad we were, he's saying, listen, this grace, this abundance of God's love, this exceeding kindness, this riches of his grace, this has nothing to do with you. There is nothing you did to get this. You weren't even thinking about these things when the opportunity became available for you to have them. There's something God and Jesus did. They came up with a plan before the foundations of the earth, foundations of the world. And they put this plan together that one day Jesus would become a sacrifice for the sins of man. And based upon that sacrifice, the door would be wide open for the Father's love to be displayed and to be received in the same way Adam did when he first opened his eyes. I want you to think about something as I get ready to close here. Think about this. God created the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 2, in all of its beauty and its splendor. And then it says, God created man. At this time, he was outside of the garden. And then God put him in the garden. What did he do to qualify? What did he do to deserve it? It was God's gift. It was a shadow and a type of grace. It was a shadow and type of God's exceeding kindness towards us. This was always God's plan. We kind of, you know, as Paul was telling us in the first part of chapter 2, we messed it up. But this was always God's plan. He's always been that precious, loving Father. He's always been just exceedingly happy and exceedingly glad that we're his children. So I just wanted, and I so much appreciate, brother, that you've given me this opportunity to spend this time with you and your listeners. And I just had, you know, I kind of got caught up here myself, just kind of getting all excited about the precious love of our Father. You know, there's so many people out here, whether growing up in the church or outside of the church or in the world, and we're all just looking to be loved. We're looking for that acceptance. We're looking for that. And man, religion has beat us down so bad and made us feel so unworthy of our Father's love. So many times, unfortunately, we go to church and we're beat down and we're condemned and we're made to feel so unworthy, so unloved. God says, no, this is not me. This is not me. I love you with a passionate, unyielding, unending, totally committed love. That love burns today, tomorrow, and forever. And through the grace, the new covenant of grace, this covenant of grace we live in, that began after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, as he moved as that dividing line, as we call it, between the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant being a condition-based covenant. If you do, God will then do. But now we're in this new covenant of grace that is based upon what he's done for us and the great gift he's given us for all who will believe. As I conclude here in chapter verse 8, for by grace we have been saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's God's gift, molded and crafted in his love, birthed out of his love. So, brother, I wanted to say thank you so much for this opportunity you've given me just to share and kind of, you know, just let people know that they're loved unconditionally by our Father. So thank you so much, Brother Brown. I really appreciate it.
Praise the Lord on tonight. You know what? I just heard from the Lord, you know, just now as you were dealing with this powerful word on tonight, showing and demonstrating to us the great love God had for man before the foundation of the world. And he proved that love through his son, Jesus Christ. And just like you said, for those that are saved now, we are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because of the great love that God has for Jesus. And that same love that he has for Jesus, he has for us. And I thank God for that word on tonight. I'm sitting here looking over my notes as you were delivering the word. I have so many notes that I wrote down. I like what you said, and it reminded me in my mind, in my spiritual vision. I can see it just as you were explaining it, how we can imagine God feeling like a child at Christmas. You know how a child gets when they open their first gift? And
yeah.
Can you imagine the feeling God had when he finally finished creating man, and then just like you said, and man was finished, but he wasn't totally finished until God breathed his breath into man's nostrils. Then man became a living soul. And so I just can imagine how God must have felt. Can you imagine how you felt at your early age when you received your Christmas gift, even though you did not understand the extreme measure that your parents went through to purchase those gifts, or the struggles they went through to buy those gifts for you as a child? But imagine how God felt when he made man. He felt complete. And so that is showing us, and I love the way you broke it down, the same love that God has for Jesus Christ, he changes not. He has that same love for you and I, even for those that are not saved in his name on tonight. And that's why it is so important that you hear the word. A whole lot of people hear the word, hear the same word, but the word of God said that some did not mix it with faith. And that's what you got to do. You got to hear the word, and then you got to mix it with faith, even though we don't always understand. But you got to trust God. And the word of God tells us that it is not God's desire that any souls be lost. So if you, by chance, you're listening on tonight and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, this is a great opportunity. This is can be your new birthday that you can be celebrating down through the years, that you remember on this day that you gave your life to Jesus Christ. So we thank God for the word on tonight through the person of Pastor Kyle Butler for delivering this awesome word, letting us know that the passionate love of my Father. Aren't you glad that God loves us? He even loves us even more than we could ever love ourselves. And not only did he say that he loves us, he demonstrated his love toward us. He showed us. He proved it. And he's still proving his love to us more and more each day, even though his word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of his glory. Thank God for grace and mercy on tonight. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Thank God the blood of Jesus still works and it will never lose its power. So I thank God that God is a God that he shows his compassionate love to toward his children on tonight. So I thank God for Pastor Butler for this awesome word that you have shared with us, the listeners, on tonight. And if it be the Lord's will, I may have to go back to going to 2 hours instead of one, because really I could have really heard you elaborate more and more on this message on tonight, Pastor Butler, because as my mother used to say, it was, as you was going deeper into this word, it was getting gooder and gooder to me. And so I thank God for you. You continue to stay on the wall, continue to be the man that God has called and ordained for you to be for such a time as this, drawing souls to Jesus Christ through the word. That's what it's all about, that God would be glorified. So right now I'm going to yield the mic to you, Pastor Butler, and give you an opportunity to share with the listeners, how can anyone get in contact with you if they need you to come minister to their congregation? And also, any shout-outs that you would like to give at this time, you can do so now.
Thank you again. I'm working on my website, so I don't have my official website together yet. I have to take the other one down, and I'm building a new one. But for now, of course, there's email. I also don't mind giving out my phone number. So if the listeners that may be interested in reaching out to me further can definitely do so. I'm also, of course, on Facebook, just Kyle Butler, and there may be a few Kyle Butlers that pop up. So I'll give you my email address and my phone number, and you can email me or text me, and then maybe we connect that way if you're on Facebook as well. I can send you a direct friend request, and you can, you know, I'll respond to it that way. But my email address is kylelb@aol.com. You can always reach me there. My phone number, I don't mind giving out, is also 973-851-8756. Again, I'm on Facebook, just at Kyle Butler, but again, a few Kyle Butlers may pop up. So if you're interested in connecting with me there, we may have to do it first email or through phone or text or something. Then we can find out how to find each other's page there. I do post on Facebook daily an encouraging message of love and grace and so many different things. And I'm working on some other things. We have getting into some more digital media, YouTube and things like that. And those pages will be up shortly. So if you want to connect with me, I'd love to connect with you. I'd love to spend more time if that's what you know, the Lord has in mind for us as we move forward. Thank you again so much, brother, for this opportunity. I know we just met a short while ago, but you've proven to be a brother indeed, and I love you dearly, and I look forward to any future times we get to share fellowship. If I'm ever in your area, maybe we can get together, do some lunch, or ever in my area. I'd love to have you. We spend some time together and just continue to talk about the goodness of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I received that too. I am so grateful. I thank God for my first cousin, Pastor Norman King. I see that he's on the line. He's a pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries down in Greensboro, North Carolina. He is on the line. And also Mother Phillips. She's one of the mothers of Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church, where Bishop James A. Jennings is our pastor and shepherd. So we do have quite a few people that calls in and tunes in faithfully and be blessed by the word. And so, I don't take this platform lightly or for granted. I thank God for it, because if we are truly saved in Jesus' name, we know that it's not about us. We are only servants. We are ambassadors. We are vessels of the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to fulfill our God purpose in the earth for God's glory. So that's what it's all about, and trying to word. And he told us that we are to go into the hedges and highways and compel men, women, boys, and girls to come in and be saved, because the time is not as long as it has been. As we see that the handwriting is on the wall, Jesus Christ is coming soon, and this is real. This is reality. Just like heaven and hell are real, this is real. Jesus Christ is real. So you want to hear in that day when we stand before the judgment, before God, don't you want to hear him say unto you, well done, thy good and faithful servant, you fulfill your God purpose in the earth? You don't want to hear God say, I know I don't want to hear him say unto me, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Everything you did on earth was in vain, because you had hidden motives or agendas. So I thank God for the word on tonight. Continue to be blessed of the Lord on tonight, listeners. I thank God for each one of you. Continue to pass the word. It's worldwide platform and broadcast that we're on every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Continue to be blessed of the Lord. I thank God for you, the listeners. As we get ready to close out, I'm asking you to continue to pray with me as we continue to lift up the name of Jesus in the earth for his glory. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, listen, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give your name praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us, even though we know we are not worthy of them, we don't deserve it, but we thank you for them in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, continue to lift up your people by your Spirit through your word. And, oh God, on tomorrow is our prayer and desire that through the earth that you will move by your Spirit in every door that's open in the name of Jesus Christ, and as your word goes forth, move through each vessel that's going to bring your word to the power that you have rendered unto them, that they would stand on your word and declare and preach your word to the saving of many souls on tomorrow, and that backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified on tomorrow, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to move by your Spirit in the earth as only you can, Heavenly Father. Have your way in us and help us to remember that you are always in total control, no matter what it looks like, what we hear or what we see or what we feel, that you are in total control at all times. And for this, we're grateful for who you are. We just bless your name on tonight, and we just give your name praise, glory, and honor. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, tonight, know that God loves you. I love you, too. It is my prayer that you find yourself in a church on tomorrow that's preaching and teaching and standing on the word of Jesus Christ, and that you will give God praise because why? He is worthy to be praised. And if we're going to close out with that song on tonight, total praise. And that's what God desires from each one of us, total praise. He's worthy of our praise. Until the next time, good night.